All right. The title this morning is Ears to Hear, Part 1. So that means there'll probably be a Part 2 next week. Amen. Ears to Hear, Part 1. It's May 4th, 2014. It's the first week of May of 2014. It'll be the last first week of 2014. Amen. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to just share a little bit about sharpening our hearing this morning and hearing from God. And I want to talk to you a little bit about when you hear from God, how He'll lay your course out. And it's not the way you expected it to be, but it's the way He expects it to be. Sometimes we want to run our own course, our own way, and God doesn't want that. God wants you to listen to Him, because He's got bigger and better plans for you. And if you go His way, you'll prosper. When you go His way, you'll grow. When you do it His way, you get there on time, not delayed. Amen. See, God has set you in an appointment for His anointment. But you got to be there on time to show up. And you got to be there because you've been listening to Him. When there's so often, before I was saved, somebody says, well, do you hear from God? We had some youth over my house on Friday, and we got a discussion of how do you hear from God, you know, and it's like, you know, God's always talking, it's just, but we're not listening. Kind of like when we're in school, right? You know, the teacher's talking and we ain't listening. We ain't, you know, we're not, hey, what did he say on there? I wasn't paying attention. You're too busy jacking around on your cell phone. See, we didn't have cell phones back then, you know. That's why we always paid attention. We were never in the principal's office. Maybe my brother was. I was never. I was the angel. Praise God. Right. See, when you hear from God, when you start hearing from God, you don't get caught up with all the BS of the world. You don't get caught up in the recession. You don't worry about the struggles of life. Because when you hear from God, God is going to position you. God's going to protect you. God's going to put a hedge of protection around you. When you hear from Him, because He's going to put you in the right place at the right time to hear the right word so that you can move and do what you're supposed to do. I don't get caught up in when a newspaper says, you know, there's a stock crash and I have a whole bunch of stocks in there. God's given me enough wisdom to give me a good investor, and I pray all that my investments will make money. Amen. Not interested in losing, I'm interested in gaining, because that's the kingdom of God. I want to gain more ground for the kingdom of God. The more money and finances I have, the more I can bless other people. It ain't about me. I don't need 15 cars. I've got one. It runs good. I'm happy with it. It's not a Bentley. It's not a Rolls Royce. And I don't have five mansions. I don't need five mansions unless I'm going to set those up to be orphanages. Amen? I wish these preachers would just get that right. It's okay to be blessed. It's okay to prosper, but how much prosperity do you have to have? I mean, if all your bills are met and your health is good and your family's taken care of and all the college is paid for and all your bills are met, can't you start blessing other people? That's what that's been about. Jesus was about blessing other people. But sometimes ministers don't hear. They only, well, we won't go there. The Bible talks about sharpening your hearing and maintaining your expectation to receive from God. We always have to be in a mode of expectation. We got to be ready to expect something from God. God will move on a dime right now to get something done. And you got to be listening. Amen. Bible talks about praying. Praying and without ceasing and communicating with God through the Holy Spirit. And then God will give you supernatural breakthrough. And inquiring of God requires that you hear clearly from Him. When you do that, you defeat the enemy. Guess what? The devil does not like that you hear from God. And people will come across your path and say, well, how do you really know you heard from God? You know. You get a gut check. You know it lines up exactly with the Word of God. And it's probably something that's going to push you way beyond what you can handle, which is good. That means you need God, because if you can do it yourself, you don't need God. Amen? And God's never going to give you something like say, hey, go kill your neighbor next door. He ain't going to go say that. Amen? Even though they're driving you crazy, he's going to tell you to pray for them. Amen? So we're going to look at what the Word says about sharpening your hearing, and we're going to get ears to hear this morning. And we're going to look at Acts 3, verse 1. Acts 3, verse 1. This is the New Living Translation. And I want to break this down for you and break it out in terms that you and I can understand. I'm hoping that you'll be able to relate to this, because once you start hearing from God, your life becomes a lot better. Amen. your family becomes a little bit more blessed, and your financial picture becomes a little brighter, and the things that used to bother you don't bother you anymore, and people that talk about you, you don't really care because you're already dead to yourself, so you don't really worry what they think or say. They just talk and smack. That's okay. Let them talk about me. At least they're talking about me. I must have got their interest. Amen? Praise God. So the book of Acts 3, verse 1 says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service. I don't know many of us would break free to go to a prayer service at 3 o'clock, but these guys were Christians. Amen? Hallelujah. And it says, as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. And each day, say each day, he was put beside the temple gate. He was close to God, but he didn't enter in. Get this morning. He was placed by the gate of the temple, but he never entered in. So many people you know of God, heard of God, they get to the temple gate, but they haven't entered in. Oh, you'll get this here in a minute. Oh, you're going to like this. Beside the temple gate, the one called the beautiful gate. So he could beg from the people going into the temple. He was begging before. He was outside of a church, a Spirit Life Christian church, in front of the door, begging for something, but no one would bring him in. That's pretty sad. But that talks about the congregation. Won't bring him in. We bring him in. We'll just get him healed up and let's roll him out of here. Amen. He was in front of a church, a big church, a temple, and he was sitting there, and they bring him every single day, and they would bring him there so he could beg for money. But no one would tell him about Jesus. Tell him about, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. It ain't about beating somebody in the head with the Bible. It's just sharing, this is what Jesus did for me. Do you know that I had cancer? And then miraculously, oh my God, I prayed, and it went away. I didn't have to have the chemo treatment. I didn't have to have the radiation treatment. It just disappeared. But then there was another time I had illness. 12 years I had to deal, like the woman with the issue of blood. But I had to go to the doctor, and I had to find a good doctor. I had to search, and then I got healed. But I learned something through the process. Somebody brought me into the temple, didn't leave me outside the gate begging, oh, would you someone help me? And then when Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. Peter said, look at us. Yo, hey, brother. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. See, Christians, we need to learn to be expecting all the time to receive something from God. Because God's got something for you every day. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold. See, that's most they want a handout. You know, you ever see those guys in the corner? I like to go to McDonald's and go get like 2 cheeseburgers and a couple Cokes and some French fries and bless them with that instead of the money that they're going to go buy cigarettes and alcohol for. I like when they say, hey, I'm gonna use this for drugs and alcohol. At least the person's honest. But I'm going to bring you some food. I'm going to give you something that you didn't expect. See, God always gives you something you didn't expect because it's better than what you expected. See, if you got what you expected, it wouldn't be good enough to meet God's standards. Trying to help you. And Peter said, I don't have gold or I don't have silver, but I'll give you what I have. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up, get up, get up, start that new job, build that new house, get up and walk, he said. Then Peter took the man by the right hand, because see, you're in the right hand of fellowship with Jesus. Picked him up with his right hand, said, come on, brother. And helped him up. Why? Because he'd been lame so long, his body ain't going to work. And as he did, the man's feet and his ankles were instantly healed and strengthened, better than gold and silver. That's what happens when you come into the house of God. It's better than the gold and silver that you've been getting from people, because those are just people. But when you walk into the temple of God, God's got something better than gold and silver. Something that you can go on and make that gold and silver, because now you can walk on your own accord. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. And it says, he jumped up, stood on his feet and began. I don't know how about you. I would have been hilariously jumping up and I would have run around the building. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them, and all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they seen so often at the beautiful gate, they were absolutely astounded. When you get connected to Jesus, there's going to be some things God's going to work through you that are going to be completely astounding. People look at me now that used to knew me 25 years ago and they say, you ain't the same person by no ways. No ways is you the same person. No way. I remember you when you used to do, and now you don't do that no more. I go, I know I don't do that no more. Praise God. God will use you. People will be astounded. They'll go, really? They're using you? The guy can't barely speak English? English wasn't my strong suit. Math was. So please forgive my English, but my math is pretty good because I know how to get the 30, the 60, the 100-fold increase. God showed me how to do that. Math pretty simple for me. Amen. So here's what the deal is. You got to continue to get the spirit of faith in you, and you have to learn to be expecting something. Shout, Holy Spirit, tune me up. Dial me in to what God's saying. Give me a rhema word. See, God wants to give you a rhema word. Now, a rhema word is pretty simple. When you read the Bible in a verse or a scripture, God will give you something called a rhema word, which is really from the Holy Spirit that brings attention so that you can apply it to your situation that you're currently going through. So sometimes you read a scripture 45 times, and it doesn't really, you know, it's great scripture, but when you're going through something and you search it out, then all of a sudden God will give you a rhema word and you look at the scripture a different way and you go, whoa, wait, I never seen that before. I read it, but now I've received it. There's something different than when I read it the first 45 times. That's why I'm not a proponent about reading the Bible in a year and all that. Read what you can read, get as much as you read, and get knowledge from what you read. It's not like a speed contest because there's a lot of words in that Bible, amen? And if you read the Amplified, it'll take you three times as long, amen? So, you know, my thing is read the Bible, but study it. Learn something from it. Just don't be a person who read the book and said, what'd you read? I don't know. I was one of those kids that read a book real fast in school, and then I'd have a test. I don't know what the heck I read, but I read it. I honestly read it. I just didn't know. I didn't comprehend anything. I didn't understand. So I had to buy the Cliff Notes, and I found a guy named Cliff, and he gave me the notes, and I went in there, and I'd take the test, and praise God, I passed. Amen. That's what fraternity brothers do. They help each other out. So, Jesus, I come expecting to hear from you. See, when you remain yourself in a position of expectation, what you do is you position yourself to receive stuff from God. If your hands are always face down, you can't receive anything. My hands are face down. Why? I'm waiting to receive something. I got a big delivery from God. Oh my God, it's a big one today. So you got to get ready to receive. Expect to hear the voice of God every day. Let me say that again. Expect to hear the voice of God every day. Expectation is a breeding ground for miracles, signs, and wonders. If you're always expecting, amen? Every day I go to the mailbox expecting something good. I get some bills in there, but sometimes I get a check sometimes. I go, that's good. Sometimes I get a box from HSN. I go, oh, that's even better. Praise God. I'm expecting a package to come. I'm in the mail from the guys they have the smiley face with, the Amazon or something like that. They have the smiley face. But I have a smile. Why? Because you can't wait to get that box. It's got a smiley face. It's got to be something good in there for me. And they never put the bill in the same box. You notice that? That way you can still smile, but 30 days later the bill comes. Amen. But you come expecting. And when you expect, it's a breeding ground for miracles. You got to have faith that you'll hear the voice of God. Take a look at Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. It's the New King James Version. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to be spending time in the Word so that we can hear from God what He's trying to get to us. Everything in the kingdom of God operates by faith. You got to pay full attention to hearing from the Word of God. Sometimes you might need to be quiet. Sometimes you might need to be still. Sometimes you might need to lock yourself in a room. Sometimes you got to just get alone with God. Sometimes you just need to get in the car and just turn no music on and say, Lord, I'm driving to work. What do you want to talk about? Sometimes they'll have you play that praise and worship music that you can hear you three blocks down the street, man. It's good. Pulling up into the Starbucks and, you know, boom, 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 you know. A little more Jesus, you know. So in Acts 3, let's talk about that for a second. Peter told the begging lame man to focus on him and John. Sometimes God wants you to get all the distractions away and get focused on what He's about to do for you. Sometimes you need to spend some time in the Word. See, the man paid attention to Peter and John because he was expecting something in return. He was expecting to receive something from Peter and from John. He sat on that in front of a church, a big church. His whole life, he was carried there, but never entered in. But then Peter, John came, and he was expecting. He was expecting, hey brother, you know, can you give me a quarter? Can you give me a dime? Can you give me a shekel of gold? But see, he always came expecting. He was focused with expectation, and he obeyed and received his healing. See, God wants you to be in expectation and have your faith built because He's right about to give you something. And it's always so big that if you don't have faith, you won't be able to receive it. And when it passes by you, I'm going to be there because I'm the person that's got big faith and I'm going to receive it all. Praise God. It was supposed to be your blessing, but now it's my blessing. How many times you know you got friends that got your blessing? It should have been yours. Don't be mad at him. It's just you didn't have faith to receive it all. God always gives you more of a surprise than you expect. A good one. Amen. He doesn't just pay your rent. He always leaves a little bit extra so you can go out and have dinner at Metro Pizza. Amen. Praise God. The reason why we don't receive anything from God is that we're either too busy, we don't listen, or we don't pay attention to what He's speaking. See, distractions are an intrusion of the mind that causes confusion. Distraction is an intrusion of the mind that causes confusion. That's why I ask you, what are you focusing on? Is your spirit man cluttered with all this worry and regret and stress and, oh my God, oh, I gotta do. Obey immediately when you hear from God. Obey immediately when you hear from God. So if I said, hey, Amanda, come here for a minute. Amanda, come here for a minute. I got something for you. What she's going to do is she's going to go be obedient so that she can get the blessing. Oh, God, I want that $5 back later anyway. When the father calls, the child, us, the children, should just be obedient and just go do. She's just going to sit there, well, you know, I'm waiting for him to give me a 10 now. I mean, I'm going to wait here. When God says do it, do it. And He says, jump. You say, how high, God? Because however high He wants me to jump, there must be a blessing in store for me. But I've got to be hearing what He's saying. God don't want that $5 back. You can have that. Amen. Why? Because you're a blessed girl, and you can have more blessing coming your way. See, one word from God will change your life. Shout this morning, one word will change my life. See, one word from God will change your life. But if you're not listening and you're not expecting, then you won't receive it. Be faithful over little things when you hear from God, and then He'll talk to you about some bigger thing. Yeah, I want this whole thing. I want to run this gigantic ministry. That's what I started. And God says, let me just teach you about the little things. Let me give you a little ministry. See how you can handle that. See how you can handle 20 people that are nothing but complainers and bickerers and don't tithe and don't give. Come on. And why go work for another ministry and not get paid for it and go and learn the children's ministry and changing their little poo-poo diapers in there and backing in the rugs and the ministry of cleaning the toilets. And I did that. And I'm meeting the ushering and the greeting and the barbecuing and cooking for all the events and going out to give the people that didn't even want you to be there and giving out Christmas gifts and Thanksgiving and you're doing all this stuff. And the whole time God is training you for your own ministry. But I had some ears to hear what he was saying. I didn't like what he was saying sometime because it involved me having to do some work and some things I didn't want to do, and I had to rearrange my schedule. But his schedule was a lot better because there was somehow he was going to connect me with somebody that I might be working hand in hand with that might be the CEO of the company that wants to hire me to give me more money than what I was making before. But I would have never met him because he was serving God like I was serving God, and he was listening to God, and that's where how come he got so blessed is because he was listening to God, hearing to God, doing what God told him to do. And if I just do what God tells me to do, I'm going to be okay. But you got to have ears to hear. Continue to do the last thing that he told you to do. I love people that go to church, to church, to church to hear a word. And they get the word, but they never apply the word. I'm going to go to another church. I'm going to get another word. I'm going to get another word. I'm going to get another word. And they never done the first word that God told them to do in the first place. And they go from place to place to place to place. Say, I'm getting another word. I got a word from God. Well, did you do anything with the word of God that he gave you the first time? Or did you just sit on deaf ears and say, well, that wasn't the one I really wanted him to do because it involves me have to investing some of my time and my talent, my effort, and some hours and some blood and some sweat and some tears. And I don't want to do that. Maybe I'll go to another church and hear another word. And then the person will tell you the word is you're lazy. Go do the first word God told you the first time. See, I just open up your ear pockets a little bit. Amen? Because delayed obedience and partial obedience is still, guess what? Disobedience. And disobedience doesn't bring blessings, it brings pain. Because when I was disobedient at my home, I got a paddle on my backside. Amen. Well deserved. And as I got older, I could run faster from my mom, but then as soon as she caught her breath, I would get my butt beaten. Amen. Because disobedience, delayed obedience, partial obedience is disobedience. And God wants you to be obedient. When my daughter said, she's seen $5, she's coming, man. Amen. Hey, honey, I got a credit card. You want to fill up your gas tank? But can you have it to me by the morning because I need it? Doesn't mean not bring it back to me 2 days from now. I need my gas, but I'll bless you right now. She ain't a fool. She's a dad paying my gas. I'm going to fill that thing up with the super unleaded, man. You got to communicate with the Holy Spirit. Shout, Holy Spirit, lead my life. So you got to pray in the Spirit. You got to continue to pray and do things God's way. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. Not have a pity party. Rejoice. Even when you're going through some stuff. Even when the doctor's report doesn't say good things. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18 it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. You're going through some stuff. You're catching a little hell. Doctor's report don't look good, but thank him and rejoice. Why? Because God's going to turn things around. God's the God of the impossible, and God will do the impossible. I've seen him do the impossible in my life. It's impossible that I even be up here to be able to preach. I should have been dead 10, 12, 15 years ago. The devil almost had me down and out for the count. But Jesus. See, your hearing from God will tremendously improve when you have a frequency of praying in the Spirit. The more time you spend in the Spirit realm with God, the more that you spend praying, your ears can hear a little bit more of what God's saying because God's a Spirit, and you communicate Spirit to Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit, and you'll defeat the devil every single time. The great significance the Holy Spirit will do is he will reveal things to you that you didn't know. The Holy Spirit always reveals things to you. See, you got to understand, God knows all things. God knows all things. So, see, all things God knows. Amen? So if he knows all things, and if there's any hidden things that's going to be revealed, if you go to the Word of God, God will reveal it to you. Because he don't want you looking going, oh, I didn't know about that. God wants you to be informed. He didn't want you to be that guy on TV. There's a tornado that came down over here. They always get the guy that's like, don't know nothing, that Gomer Pyle guy. You know? I didn't know there was going to be one of those. But didn't you hear the sirens? Didn't you see the winds? Did you even read the news? Did you hear? Well, you know, I didn't know. Because you weren't informed, because you weren't dialed into the station where they were trying to tell you, get the heck out of your house because it ain't going to be there in about 3 minutes because there's a tornado coming. Revealed knowledge is knowledge that comes from God. Revealed knowledge is knowledge that comes from God. We communicate to God. We said spirit to spirit. Take a look at Matthew 16:13. Matthew 16:13 says this. When Jesus came into the region, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or other prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, the smartest one of the whole bunch, answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." In other words, the Holy Spirit revealed something to him. When God speaks to you, you are empowered to have success. Simon became Peter as a result of the revelation. Peter means a piece of the rock. I don't know about you, but yesterday I was doing some landscaping and I had to jump over this wall that I have, this retaining wall. It was a pretty funny sight watching my big body get over there. And on the other end, the drop's a little farther than the side I was on, so I had to put a chair there. And I went out there to cut some bushes that were growing on this eave that's part of the city's work they didn't do. And in there, they had these big boulders, and I was just borrowing some of the boulders to move around. And there's a little rock, it wasn't heavy, but then there were some big rocks. And see, what God's trying to tell you is that Peter was the big rock. He was a big piece of the rock. Jesus explained that the church would be built upon the rock because it's a solid foundation. You don't want to put it in sand because sand, as soon as water comes, it washes away and it diminishes itself. So take a look at Matthew 16, verse 18. New Living Translation. It says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build a church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and wherever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. The gates of hell will not prevail against Christians who receive the revelation from the Holy Spirit." Jesus teaches us about the kingdom and how to do things and the keys that we need so that we're not stuck in life. See, there are secret things of God, but they only will be revealed to those that open the book. Now, see, I got this chip here, amen, because we were in Las Vegas, amen. And you could put this $2,000 chip down on a table and gamble it away, but there doesn't mean that you're going to win, amen. So, for me, I want to hear from God because he's a sure bet. And not that you're going to hear from God and go to the casino and God told me to go put $2,000 on blue. No, he didn't say that. Amen. I don't take that the wrong way. God didn't tell you to go gamble it away. I think he took all those people that were in the synagogue that were selling things and gambling and doing that stuff. I think he kicked them all out, didn't he? What I'm saying is, this is $2,000. Jesus is a sure bet if you hear what he's saying to you. If you listen and you go do what he says, it's better than this $2,000 chip. I can't redeem this, but Jesus has already redeemed me. Amen? $2,000 chip in the corner. Hallelujah. The secret things belong to God. There is nothing secret that will not be revealed. Last scripture, Deuteronomy 29:29. I want to show you something. Because see, God wants you to open up your ears to hear what he's trying to say because he's trying to get something to you. And if he can get it to you, he can get it through you because it's probably for somebody else. But along the way, you get blessed. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord of our God." That's what it says. "But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. In other words, we're going to do all the word, whatever he says, go do. Meditate on his word day and night. The secret things will also belong to you. God wants to reveal those things to you. God wants to fast track you. God wants you to get from point A to point B because he's got something for you at point B. Perfect example. There are those that are going to go on this trip to Peru. They don't have all the means, but God will use you as a piece of conduit. Amen. To get the blessing to them so that they can go, so that when they come back, they're so blessed. The people that are there are blessed, and you get to be part of that blessing. You got to hear what God's telling you to do. God may tell you to quit your job because there's another job in store for you. Usually gets you set up before you quit the last one that you had, though. Amen. Be smart about it. I'm believing. You feel like an auctioneer. I'm believing. God wants you to step out and move, man. God wants you to go do something. When you hear from God, anytime God has already ever told me to do something, it means I had to do something. He didn't say, sit around and pray for 17 hours today. He didn't ever told me that. Never. He told me, be still, be quiet, or I got something to tell you. But then there was always an action plan after that time. Sometimes he said, be quiet for a minute. I want to share something with you. And yes, Lord. And then go implement it. There's always something you have to go do. Because if there's no work associated, there's no reward. That's why you got problems with what our systems that we have. Because no one wants to work. They just want it for free. And then they become lazy and they become addicted to it. And then they're poor. Why? Because it's a poor mentality. And and what you find is people on a system, it was only supposed to be for a temporary period of time. I remember I had to use, I didn't have a job for 3 months, and I had to go on, what do they call that thing when you don't have a job and you have to go fill out a form? Unemployment. Man, I felt guilty of taking it, but I figured I put enough in there, I should be able to take the 3 months. And, you know, and I found another job. As soon as I got a job, I said, hey, get me off this thing. But, hey, but thanks for the check that you sent me for the last 3 months. Appreciate it. And I was out hustling every day. I wasn't just saying, I'm just good. I'm just going to wait for that job to come to me. And they want me. God will reveal it to them. No. Sometimes you need to get off your butt. I hate to say that to some people. You got to get on up, brush that tail off, put on some clothes, go out, fill some resumes out, go online, and go get a job. And it may not be the job that you want. It may not be the best job, but God may open that door for a season for you to be there because you might be the person that transforms that place. Meditating on the word builds your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more word that you hear, the more word that you get in you, the more that you change. You got to be listening to what God's saying. Always remain in an expectation mode. Position yourself to receive from God. Expect that God's going to give you a rhema word. Read the word, and you spend time in the word, God will reveal it to you. God will show you some things that you need to change and do. He's always helping me out. I read the word, and he'll say, no, don't go to it. You always done it this way. I want you to do something different this time, Jeff. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Do it this way. Or this ministry is not flourishing, and the people don't want it, so we're going to do something different. We're going to transform the funds, and we're going to go do something else to go be a bigger blessing because I want to make a different impact. Amen? Expectation is a breeding ground for signs, miracles, and wonders. Your hearing from God will tremendously improve when you spend time praying in the Spirit. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Guess what? You dial in. It's like a radio station. You ever get that? And then you dial in and I'll say, oh, yeah, there it is. It's real crisp. That's what God wants your hearing to be. If you're not hearing from God, be still and be quiet for a minute. God is talking. God wants to bless you. God wants to increase you. God wants to prosper you. That's what his Bible is all about. Prosper and increase. And as the people see you prosper and increase, they're going to say, how the heck did you get so blessed? And you're going to say, let me tell you about this Jesus I know. Let me show you about the Word of God. I got these rules and regulations of the Word of God, that these laws that work. They work for the sinner and they work for the saint. Amen. And when I know how to apply them because I heard from God, then I get the blessings of it. See, God wants to reveal to you all the hidden mysteries, but you got to sharpen your hearing. God wants to give you ears to hear. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to listen to your voice. See, God wants you to listen to his voice. My daughter heard me say, Amanda, come up here. She didn't say, it wasn't five other Amanda. She heard my voice. She knows the voice of the Father. The Father that raised her. The Father that's paying for her college and her car and who loves her. She heard the voice and she said, yes, Father, I come. My son does the same thing. Good son, just like Jesus. Hey, when I hear the voice, I'm going to go do what my Father said. I'm just going to do what my Heavenly Father said to go do. If I spend time in his words and I hear what he's saying, he's lining me up to succeed. He ain't out to hurt me. He's out to help me. He wants to bless me. He wants me to be on top. He wants me to be the big boy. He wants me to be the guy in charge. Why? Because God wants people to look up, and then you can point them into the right direction. God will give you power. God will give you position, but he doesn't want you to just play around with it. He wants it to be used for his glory, not for your own increase. I didn't become a pastor to become a millionaire. But a lot of theological students coming out of the ministry training right now are learned how to be a millionaire as a pastor. I'm like, huh? I'd rather have a million souls saved than $1 million in my bank account. Because when I get to heaven, I want God to say, see these people coming and talking to you? They were part of you. They got saved. You didn't even know about it, man. See, when we give to those people, they're going to go to Peru, and we give to these other ministries like Mike Gutnick and stuff that he's doing in other parts of the country, and we give to those people. There are souls getting touched and lives being saved that we're going to have a piece of it. We're going to have a piece of that rock. Think about that. Just by your actions, sometimes at work, people are going to be like, wow, that person really didn't blow. I thought for sure they would have flew off the handle. Well, that person's been going through so much, I think they're going to crack. But no, man, they still have peace in the midst of their storm. Why? Because I made sure that God was a sure bet. I made sure that I spent time in his word. Why? I'm not just going to go take a chip and put it down on the table because I might not win. When I start playing around that area, that's the devil's area. I'm not saying if you're gambling, you're going to hell. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying that the $3 you could have gambled, maybe you could have touched your life by giving it to a missionary or blessed a homeless person or sowed into some ministry for battered women, you know what I mean, or children that are on drugs, and you could be that person that sowed the $2, and that $2 may make a whole difference in someone's life. Because we like squandering money. I mean, I go to Starbucks every day. I mean, it's like stupid squandering. I go get a coffee for $4, you know. $4 for a coffee? Are you kidding me? You can get Maxwell House. I can get 50 cups for that for $4. Dock it up. It'll be fine. God's not worried that you're blessed and that you go to Starbucks, okay? I don't care. But you hear from God. On Friday, I got up early in the morning and I went to work and I went through Starbucks drive-thru. And some lady in front of me heard from God. Why? Because I got a free coffee. Because I went to go get my coffee. The lady at the store said, the lady in front of you bought your coffee. In through the drive-thru. I said, thank you, Jesus. Someone's hearing from God. Part of my message, you already got that lined up for me. Probably looked in her mirror and said, that's some handsome pastor in that car. She didn't know me from Adam. I don't know, you know, probably, you know, she's going to work. Said, I just want to be a blessing. She heard from God, bless the person behind you. I don't know who he is or she, whatever. I want to bless her. It happens to me more often. And all I did, as soon as the lady said, I said, I looked at her and she gave her a call. She goes, there'll be no charge to the person in front. I said, thank you, Jesus. And she looked at me and she smiled, right? So every time I go to the drive-thru, she knows my voice, the lady there, and she knows I'm that Christian guy because I always have my Christian music playing and everything. But I got blessed. I got out of that driveway, and now I just started thanking God in my car. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessing. Well, Pastor, that's a $4 coffee. But it cost somebody else the $4. But they heard from God. They put something into action. They went and did. They heard. They heard heard from God and they went and did what was on their spirit. Anytime you do something for God, it's going to cost you. Understand, when you're hearing from God, wherever you work, your business is going to be blessed. Because you're there. You're the one that showed up. They hired you because there's something different about you. Increase follows you. Why? Because you have an anointment. You have an appointment with the anointment. And guess what? When you show up, the anointing shows up with you. Not behind you, not before you. It just comes in with you. Oh, Pastor, that's crazy. Really? My wife hadn't had to work for 18 years because she took care of the kids. And she decided to have a job. And so she went and got a job. And I told her, when she gets there, that place is going to be the most anointed, the most blessed place. It's going to be over the top. She gets there, guess what? Their sales numbers have been through the roof. And it's the high, and it's the best store in the whole country. Why? Because the anointing just showed up. Why? Because she hears from God. She gets this little letter yesterday, customer service. And I want to say, this is Diana, just, you know, sweet and personal. Why? Because she's got God in her. She's not sitting there sour going, what am I going to get? We went and got ice cream, and this girl's sitting there. Wait, what kind of ice cream do you want? Sorry, Matt, you weren't with us, but we went to this Golden Spoon, son, sorry. And we went, Matt and I and Mom, you know, because we were just hanging out and stuff, you know. And we went to Golden Spoon, and the lady says, you know, this girl's like, what kind of ice cream do you want, you know? Yeah, I want this kind of ice cream. Give me a free sample. No. I said, can you please give me a free sample of this? She wasn't joyful. Man, I see something on her. When I left the house this morning, they had something that she's getting a discount, and she got like some kind of recognition at work. Why? Because she got Jesus inside her. I'm not bragging about my kids. I'm bragging about the Jesus that's in her and him and my son and people that ask her. Why? Because the word works. They hear from God, and they go do it. They don't go play this God thing and, well, I'm going to talk about God. They are acting like God. And guess what? You get blessed when you act like God. When you do the things of God, when you're obedient, when he tells you to do it, you just say, okay, I'm going to do it. And you might not like it, and it's going to cost you something. And I got to go walk across town now to go do that. But God told you to go do it. Do it. Hear and then go do. When you do, you get blessed. I don't make no excuses for what I have. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed everywhere I go. I don't care if people like me, hate me, talk smack about me. Hey, oh you're a pastor, so you must be taken from the till. Really? I give more into the till than I get, praise God, because I give it all to God, and he blesses me. I can't help that when I'm running, the stuff is chasing me down. I can't help that. That's what the Bible says. I come expecting every day. When I come to work on Wednesday, I expect my paycheck. That's my payday. Every morning I wake up and I praise God. That's my payday. I come expecting every morning. Hands raised. I'm ready, God. Thank you. Oh, that sickness that was on me, no, that had to go. I'll speak some scripture to that, and that's going to go. Going to leave. That's why Ron's healed and whole. He might be radioactive today, but tomorrow he won't be. Praise God. God ain't done with him yet. God ain't through with none of you. He's not looking at your age. He doesn't care if you're 100 years old. Heck, Sarah could have a baby, and she was in her 80s. He ain't done with you yet. We ain't having no kids right now either. I'm good. 49, I'm good. I'm good. I have no more babies. We'll raise babies within the church. Praise God. We could do that. Praise God. No physical ones. Oh, man. Changing no more diapers. Do you get it? You got to hear. Hear what God's saying. Get the wax out of your ears. Go get those little candles if you have to today at the health store place and light them so it pulls that wax out of your ears. You ever do that? Do whatever you got to do to make your ears hear, because God wants to dump some stuff in your spirit. What comes in your ear gate, whatever you speak, is what stuff has been dumped in your ear gate. If you're hearing some good word, it's going to come in your ear gate, it's going to get dropped in your heart, and then your mouth's going to speak it out. You notice there's only like 18 inches from here to here? So be listening. God gave you two ears to hear, one mouth. Talk less, listen more. God wants to dump it into you so that you can go and be a blessing to somebody else. Heavenly Father, bless your people. I ask you, Lord God, wherever they go, they're blessed. They're highly favored and they're increasing. Lord God, I ask you, Lord, as they leave here today, Lord God, that you bless them, that you increase them, Lord God. Let this week be their best week ever. And Lord God, as they come back next week, Lord God, they will, Lord God, have testimonies of your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Father God, let them, Lord God, get in the habit starting today. that they'll start hearing from you more, that they'll spend some time alone with you just to hear what you're saying. For Lord God, what you're saying is important. And just that one word might save us a whole bunch of grief and effort and time just by hearing what you're saying. So Lord God, let us dial in through the Holy Spirit. Let us plug into what you're saying. And let us do what you say, Lord God, we should do. Let us be doers. Let's be found being doers of the word, just not hearers only. I ask you to bless your people. And as they go forth, Lord God, let them, Lord God, say, I am blessed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said,